May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and we'll read verse 24. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and reading verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Surely these were words of encouragement to the church at Thessalonica when Paul wrote them. He wrote many words of gracious exhortation and gracious words of encouragement. And so as we have these words before us this evening, may we realize the wonderful favor it is to have a faithful God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Because God is faithful, he always has been. He is a God who calls. He calls his people out of darkness into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. He calls his people for various situations and occupations in this life. And then we have the confirmation of this, who also will do it. We have a God who never fails in those things which he speaks to us of. Those directions he gives, they always come to pass. Not always perhaps in the way that we expect, not always perhaps in the ways that we want. But nonetheless, God is faithful, and how wonderful that is. And if we think of this word faithful, we can think of it as trustworthy. And surely we can believe and we can know that our God is trustworthy. All that he says and all that he does is trustworthy. God never makes a mistake. God never leads us in a wrong way. He never leaves his people nor forsakes them. This is the faithful God that we have. Wonderful, what a wonderful blessing it is. You know, Solomon in the Proverbs, he says this, unto you, O men, I call. What a blessing then to think that God calls you and me, because every one of God's people is called, and my voice is to the sons of men. And through the grace of God, his people do hear the voice of Almighty God calling them. This faithful God calls them out of the darkness of nature into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And we have many encouraging statements with regards to the faithfulness of God. And how we need to remember that we have a God who does not change. What God says comes to pass. The prophet Jeremiah, in his lamentation, speaks very wonderfully of God's faithfulness. And let us not forget that Jeremiah had a very hard life, a very difficult life. He followed the leading and direction of God. He was not afraid to follow the word that God gave to him. And yet because he did that, he was sometimes thrown into the dungeon, which of course was a very, very unpleasant experience. And he was left there for some time. And if he hadn't been rescued, he would have perished in that situation. So Jeremiah had a very difficult life, but he was a faithful prophet of the Lord. And when he wrote the Lamentations, he was able to tell the great truth. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And surely to have a statement from a prophet of the Lord who has suffered greatly should be a wonderful encouragement for us today. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes, God is a faithful God. He always has been and he always will be. And may we therefore have a humble confidence in our God that he indeed will be gracious to us and that he will lead us and that he will bless us as therefore faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And the Church of God have proved that down through the ages. And in the second epistle to the Thessalonians and the third chapter, again the apostle homes in on this truth in the third verse, and he says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And he brings that about, having stated before that, finally, brethren, pray for us. The Lord, word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And we can perhaps think of that in regards to the present situation that we find ourselves in, because we do live in a world today of unreasonable and wicked men, those who follow their own views and not concerned about the will of God. But what a mercy if God enables us to be concerned about the will of God in our own lives. And that may be a different course to what we expect, but we can be sure the will of God is the best, because it will work out well and it will be for our encouragement and our strength and our blessing. So what a mercy it is then to have this faithful God. And in the epistle to the Galatians, we read an encouraging statement in the very first chapter of that epistle, where the apostle tells us in this Galatians, the first chapter, he says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Well, you know, that's the apostle writing to the Galatians. We often refer to a call by grace. And it's a good statement. And it's an important statement. And it's wonderful to know that God has called us. And what a wonderful privilege to think that as the apostle Paul was able to make this statement when he wrote to the Galatians, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Well, as we mentioned this morning, the apostle was called by grace really on that Damascus road. And what a change it produced in his life. Faithful is he that calleth you. And as we think of the life of the apostle, how faithful was God to him. That doesn't mean to say that the apostle had an easy life. In fact, we should realize the apostle did not have an easy life. In fact, the apostle had a very difficult life, but he had a life which was blessed by his God. And we can read something of that which he suffered in the second epistle of the Corinthians in chapter 11. And it's sometimes good just to remind ourselves of that which the apostle passed through. And the apostle didn't write these things for any pride or any reason. It was for to show the glory of God upon him, to show the mercy of God to him. And he tells us in the 11th chapter, in the 18th verse, he says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. How be it, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And then he tells us who he was. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a seed of Abraham. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And it's, I'm always encouraged when we read the life of not only Paul, but the saints of God, how in the accounts we read, we find they're honest. There's not any mock humility. You know, mock humility is a great danger. It's a sin. We should be honest before God and honest before our brethren to testify of what God has done for his honor and for his glory, and to prove his faithfulness, to prove that he is totally trustworthy, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of opposition. And so he tells us this, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often, the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? Well, we have there a catalogue of some of the things that the apostle passed through. And yet you see, he didn't complain. He accepted it as the path that the Lord had called him to walk in. And he was able to recognize that it was God's will and purpose for him to walk in that way. Well, what a mercy it is for us today if we have the evidence that God has called us. And sometimes we might think if God calls us, it's going to be a wonderful experience, a wonderful life, and be able to give a wonderful testimony of the Lord's grace and mercy toward us. Well, we will be able to, but perhaps not in quite the way that we anticipated, because we easily formulate a pattern for our own lives. And perhaps, as it were, we almost build castles in the air, thinking this and that's going to happen. Well, it may be the very opposite. But nonetheless, the apostle was blessed with this. And, you know, the Lord very graciously balances. There's a balancing of the clouds in the lives of the people of God. And God is faithful in this, in bringing these things to pass. And in the next chapter, in the 12th chapter, we read of the apostles' favor and blessing. When he tells us, he said, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visit visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he speaks about himself in the third person. This is what he says. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Such an one will I glory, yet in myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So we have a little view there of the apostle's life, of the opposition that he faced, and yet such a glorious revelation and blessing. And that God is faithful today to his church, to his people, to lead them in the right way. How wonderful it is. We read in the 107th Psalm those wonderful words. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. It was true in Israel's case. They were led safely through the wilderness and they arrived safely at Canaan at last. And so it's true of the church of God today. The Lord brings them safely through this life and lands them safely in heaven at last. So faithful is he that calleth you. Well, may we know then something in our own life to realize that the Lord is faithful. As we refer to just now in this third chapter in the Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know, the Lord establishes his people in the truth of God, and he establishes the church of God, the people of God, through trials, through oppositions, through difficulties. You see, if we never had difficulties, if we never had trials, if we never had opposition, we would never know, never realize the comfort of the evidence of God's leading and God's direction and God's blessing. And so we should be very thankful to know that here we have this God who is faithful. He's trustworthy. He doesn't lead us in a wrong way. No, he leads us in a right way. We have a wonderful word in Timothy that the Apostle Paul wrote, and it speaks about the Lord Jesus and it speaks about himself. And in the first chapter in Timothy, and the first epistle of Timothy, in the first chapter in verse 15, it's a familiar verse, but it's very well worth repeating. This is a faithful saying, right? This is a trustworthy saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worth receiving. It's worth noting. And this is what it is, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the apostle adds, of whom I am chief. And as the Holy Spirit may teach and lead us into this glorious truth that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm sure we may perhaps feel we can argue with the Apostle Paul and claim that in actual fact we're the chief of sinners. Well, it's good when the Holy Spirit convinces us of our sin and brings us to that position so that we don't think we're a little sinner. We don't think we're a small sinner, because if we realize the sins within us, the sins which perplex us sometimes, the sins which cast us down, to realize nonetheless we have a great and glorious Savior. And this is a faithful saying. This is a saying of the Lord God. This is God. This is a trustworthy word. God is faithful. Oh, faithful is he that calleth you. What a mercy then to know this great and glorious calling of Almighty God. And there's many references to the times when God has called his people. In the second of Thessalonians again, and verses, we read it in the second chapter verses 14 and 15 is what we read. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. There is a standing fast. There is a receiving the faithful word of Almighty God. There is a calling, an individual calling by God, and it's by the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as the apostle says here, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the Lord comes and graciously calls us, this faithful God calls us from the darkness of nature, the darkness of our sinful condition in which we were born, into the glorious light of the gospel, we can indeed look forward to this great, wonderful promise, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, by his grace, to be found with him in glory. And that is true of all those who are called, like the apostle was. All the church of God are called, and the trustworthy word from God is that there will be this obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, with this wonderful prospect before us, we are then to stand fast and to hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Blessing it was us today to stand fast in the world in which we live. There are so many evil ways, many evil things around, and yet we have a faithful God who continues to lead and continually guide and direct his people as they travel on day by day. Well, to know this wonderful favor of calling, it is a great blessing. It's an essential blessing and favor, really. And the apostle Paul knew it. He knew it so well. He wrote it on a number of occasions. And in the epistle of Paul to the Romans, and in the first chapter, and we are told this in the sixth and seventh verses, the apostle says, among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this faithful God, he calls his people. The call of Jesus Christ, the mercy it is to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's never be like those who follow afar off, like dear old Peter did when it got a bit hot, and therefore he didn't want to get too close, and he followed afar off. And what was the result? He denied his Lord and Master on three occasions. My friends, let us not be found following afar off. We don't want the Saviour to ignore us, do we? Faithful is he that calleth you. What a blessing then if we know the power and calling of Almighty God. As he says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, we are beloved of God. The apostle goes on and tells us, we are called to be saints. That means that we are called to walk in that path laid down for us in the Word of God. Called to be saints. He says to such, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here we have evidences of those who are called. Those who are called by Almighty God. In this same epistle to the Romans, and in the 8th chapter, we have some wonderful verses, as I'm sure most of us know. And in the 28th verse of this 8th chapter, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to those and to them who are the called according to his purpose." So those who are called, God is faithful to such. And this is what he says. All things work together for good. Sometimes we may perhaps doubt that. Sometimes you may think, well, is that really true? Well, the answer is, yes, it is true. It is a trustworthy statement. And you and I, if we are the children of God, will prove it. It may not appear to be working out that way at the moment in our lives, but the Lord leads us throughout our life. He leads us right through our life. And therefore, a blessing it is when we come to the end of our life. But then we can say, indeed, with the apostle, "And we know, because we have experienced it, because the Lord has shown it to us, and we know that all things." That's a very comprehensive statement, isn't it? It doesn't say, well, of course, some things will work out well, but perhaps not everything. No, the apostle tells us, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if God calls us, it's because he's loved us. That's a very humbling truth, isn't it? God only calls those whom he has loved, and those whom he's loved with an everlasting love, and they are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for his people in this world. They're not born into this world to live their life as they plan or as they want. We are called to walk our life in accordance with the purpose of Almighty God. And you see, what will that be? That'll be a path which brings forth glory to God. And it will bring forth peace in our heart, because we will have the evidence the Lord is leading us, the Lord is directing us, and the Lord isn't leaving us. Although perhaps it may seem so sometimes. No, he led them forth by the right way. And then two verses further on, verse 30, the apostle says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Well, that's a wonderful chain, isn't it, as we think of it? And so the Lord graciously says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate." Yes, those who were predestinated in eternity past, and they'd be predestinated for this purpose, as the apostle says in the 29th verse, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." This is a wonderful favor. And it's not something that the unbeliever ponders upon at all, because there is no attraction in it. But here we have this statement: "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." To think that, to be conformed to the blessed Savior. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified, you see, made just, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's a wonderful chain, it's a wonderful truth, and we can come back to the beginning. Faithful is he that calleth you. This is a trustworthy consideration, therefore, that if the Lord has called us in this way, we can believe that we shall, in God's time, when our course on this earth is complete, that we shall be glorified. And we shall be glorified to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners and our Saviour, that one who so wonderfully came into this world to redeem our souls. We've sung together tonight about that redemption, how important it is, how necessary it is, how wonderful it is to have the evidence that we are indeed amongst those who are redeemed. Redeemed with what? What was the price that was paid? The precious blood of Christ. Let us never underestimate, therefore, the cost of our salvation. When the apostle then wrote to the Corinthians, again we have this theme picked up, and we should never tire of such a glorious theme. And in the eighth verse of this first chapter, in the first epistle of Corinthians, we read, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto what? Unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Well, the Lord calls us to this fellowship with Christ, and that's not something which is of the flesh. This is through the grace of God, fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, what a blessing then if you and I know something of this fellowship and union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you. Yes. The apostle, when he wrote to the Philippians, he tells us, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if God has graciously commenced his work in our hearts, that means that he has come to us and called us. And that calling is the beginning of that work of grace in our hearts. We can be confident that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are no failures with God. There are none who make shipwreck of God. God's work is perfect. God works his perfect work in the life of all his chosen church, and none make shipwreck. And indeed, as the psalmist says in the 121st Psalm, he says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." You see, all those who prove the truth of this word, faithful is he that calleth us, will indeed know that the Lord shall and does preserve our soul. That should be a comfort surely to us. That should be an encouragement to us as we battle on day by day and month by month and year by year in this wilderness journey, to realize that here we have a gracious God who speaks such wonderful words. "I, the Lord, shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." No doubt about it, is it? You see, there are many shells in the Word of God, and this is one of them. And we should be very thankful that we have shells like these. Faithful is he that calleth you. And then he comes on to say, who also will do it. Now then, the Lord has plans for every one of us. And we can read of some of the plans in the Word of God to his people. And he didn't fail them, who also will do it. And God was with his people. You only have to think of some of the patriarchs, don't we? You can think of Moses in his life. Yes, God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. What a great operation that was. Moses was very nervous himself, but what he proved was the faithfulness of God. What he proved was the trustworthiness of God. God didn't leave Moses. God was with Moses all his life, especially as we're able to trace it out in the last 40 years. Of course, the middle 40 years were spent in the backside of the desert. God was doing that which he would do in order to free Israel from that Egyptian bondage, who also will do it. Moses proved that God was faithful. He called him and he was with him and he did that which he had spoken to him of. And then we have Abraham. Sometimes we don't perhaps always realize what Abraham did. He came out of Ur of the Chaldees, left his homeland, a godless place, and was directed by God. And he wandered about, and he was directed for many years. He went from place to place. He didn't build a big castle for himself. He lived in tents. But God was with him, and God did that which he had promised he would, in the most wonderful way, as Isaac was eventually born. And again, that wasn't immediate. Abraham's faith was tested in that, and also tested when he was told to go and offer up his son, his only son. Yes, but God was faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so, it came to pass. God's promises in the life of Abraham came to pass. Now we can go through a whole list, and perhaps just very quickly, you think of Joseph in his life, what he had to pass through. Wasn't easy, was it? Had those dreams, and then they appeared to vanish away. All those years, 17 years, before there was the fulfillment of them. And then in a really a very amazing way. God's ways are higher than our ways. Don't be disappointed when things appear to be going wrong. Don't think, well, I must have mistaken the way. You may have mistaken the way. But on the other hand, if you are walking in that way, the faithful God has called you to walk in, then have confidence. The Lord will indeed do it. The Lord will indeed be with you. He will not forsake you. He didn't forsake Joseph, although it may have appeared he had. But in the set time, God has set times, there was a wonderful deliverance. Then, of course, we have the case of the Apostle Paul, don't we? The Lord came and called him on that Damascus road and revealed himself to him. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Well, that's a very humbling experience. If perhaps we have opposed God, opposed the Lord Jesus Christ, And the Lord has graciously turned to us and called us and spoken perhaps, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." What a mercy then, if we then walk in that right way. And what we find is the Lord is with us. He's called us, who also will do it. And in doing that, he leads us into all truth as it is in Jesus. The Lord doesn't leave his people outside of the promises of God. He doesn't leave his people without revealing to them the glory and preciousness of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of God's religion is not a Christ-less religion. It is a religion which is filled with the blessing of the Savior, the despised and crucified man, a glorious Savior who willingly died to redeem their souls. This is faithfulness of our God, who brings us into this communion and union with the Savior who has called us. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do for us and to us all that we need to bring us safely home to glory at last. And that will be in the right way. That'll be in the way it will bring glory and honor to our God. You can think, can't we, of David and his life. And a strange life David lived. But God was with him. God didn't forsake him. You can think of Solomon. God was with Solomon. Again, another strange life. But God was faithful to Solomon in fulfilling the promise which David had had. And also that he was given that wonderful wisdom to build the temple in his own house and much beside. God was faithful to Solomon. And we can think, can't we, of perhaps as Gideon in his day. You know, Gideon was faced. He was fearful. And he was beating wheat behind the wine press to hide from the enemy. God came to him. God knew where he was. God knows where we are. God knows perhaps whether we are afraid. We may be fearful of the future. Gideon was fearful of the future. But God came to him. And God blessed him. And God strengthened him. And God granted a wonderful victory with just a handful of men. God is able to do far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. This is the great God that we have. The great God who speaks truth. The faithful God who gloriously calls his people. The glorious God who leads his people and performs that which he has determined to do on their behalf. No one can stand in the way of the plan of Almighty God. Yes, the Lord, in the history we read in the Word of God, there were those who appeared to be mountains. The Lord removed them. And in your life and my life, even today, there may perhaps sometimes appear mountains, but the Lord can and does remove them. But you know, in the removing of it, in the removing of them, what does he do? He brings us into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. Yes, it's part of the glorious path of the children of God, to fit them and prepare them for their eternal home. It's the right way. It's the good way. And it's the way which brings honor and glory to our God. And so as we find ourselves in this world today, perhaps with difficult things and strange things. May we be able to examine ourselves in the light of Scripture and come to this great conclusion, as we read here in this verse this evening, that God is faithful. Yes, He is trustworthy. We can trust Him for everything. He is a faithful God. What a mercy it is. And don't forget that which we spoke of earlier on with regard to the words from Jeremiah. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a great truth. It's a wonderful hymn that we have on the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. And may that be a strength to us. And he also says that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. They are in our little lives. The Lord does not deal with us as our sins deserve, but he deals with us in that way which brings us closer to Christ. He leads us in that way which prepares us for our eternal home. And so what a mercy to have a God, a gracious God, a glorious God, a God who has loved us so much that he's given his life. He shed his blood upon Calvary to redeem our souls, so that one day, by his grace, we shall be with him forever. Well, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen.